woman made across the floor. Says she right on out the door and into the glade, and everybody promenade.
You're tuned to the Square Dance Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, November 23rd, 2011.
And you're listening to the Do-Si-Do Show, episode number 26.
Hi, I'm your host, Dale Hodge, from Columbia, Maryland, today broadcasting from Hoffman Estates, Illinois.
Yay! And I'm Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois, broadcasting from Wheeling, Illinois. Hello, Dale, and hello, Square Dance community. Today we have the third part of our interview with caller Tom Miller from Pennsylvania.
So, Barb, tell me about this past weekend.
Oh, I was so busy. You can always tell, I decided, my ability to do laundry or not is a new barometer. If I didn't do any laundry, I had a lot of fun. So this was a great weekend. I wasn't even anywhere near the laundry. It's inversely proportional to you science geeks out there. I had a gathering with Square Dance friends on Friday night. I went to my first church choir practice on Saturday morning. I went to two wonderful Square Dances with an out-of-town caller. We had a fellow named Dale Hodge in town.
Really?
For the weekend. Yeah, he was quite fun. And then Sunday was a family day, and I saw some friends after that. So I had an action-packed weekend with a lot going on.
Great.
And I know most of what you did for the weekend, but perhaps you want to share it with everyone, the rest of it.
Yeah, Friday night I called a C1 dance. Saturday afternoon and evening I called a C2 and C3A dance. And Sunday morning I called a C3B dance. We met friends Sunday afternoon and went to one of our favorite pizza places. So it was great seeing you, Barb. So I want to say hello to you to start off our shout-outs. Who would you like to say hello to?
Well, I have to say hello back to you and Kathy. And also, I'm sure we both share this next hello, because of this time of year, I would like to say hello, and especially a big thank you to all of those who are planning to host a Thanksgiving Day gathering.
Yep.
We who do not cook Thanksgiving dinner at home really appreciate when someone else does. So It'll be a fun time.
And I would then also like to say hello to my daughters. We held Thanksgiving with my daughters and my mom and sister last weekend, so I won't get a chance to see them on Thanksgiving Day, so really just want to say hey to my daughters. I'll be talking to them on the phone.
Yeah, that's nice. Very good.
Today we have part three of our interview with Tom Miller. In this particular section, Barb had gotten dropped off of the phone. We weren't able to get her back on, and then she ended up having to go to an appointment because we ran overtime with recording. So you'll hear me doing the interview, and when we're done here, Barb will hop on and listen to what was said in her absence.
Right.
So a couple things. You talked about recording with Billy. When did you actually start recording on your own square dance music?
My first song I recorded was with Mac Letson out of Muscle Shoals, Alabama, on Lumac Records. It was 1981. The first song I recorded was 9 to 5. Now, if you think about when I started calling in 73, you could tell it was less than 10 years later I was recording. So, like I said, I've been blessed. And then I was with Lumac with three songs. I recorded Walking Dream. And I recorded Faded Love. And I left Lumac on good terms. Went to Kalox. CEO Guest. Of course, it was his wife that was running the label then. And Billy was on Kalox, I think, at the time, if I'm not mistaken, as well. I think he might have done a couple of songs for Kalox. I recorded That's Where My Woman Begins. And then I was on there, and I didn't do no more voiceovers until I was supposed to go on a label from Seattle, Washington, that never, it started out, but it became a financial burden, I guess, so they terminated the label. And so I sat for about, it wasn't very long, when Kip Garvey started Eureka in 86, 87, I guess. I'm not sure when.
Mm-hmm.
And I called up Kip just to wish him luck with the new label. You know, that was just a common courtesy that I did with anybody that started anything new, whether it was a club or a record company. And I said to Kip, I says, I wish you luck and on your new adventure with Eureka Records. And he said, oh, I really appreciate that. He said, would you like to record for me? And so I recorded for Kip up through 91 when Kip decided to terminate the label.
Mm-hmm.
And on Eureka Records was Dan Norby, Joe Saltell, Kip Garvey, Bobby Beyer, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there might have been some other guys that did some guest spots there. But and then in 91, I went with Ernie Kenny on Hi-Hat Records. And was with Ernie Kenny until 2002, when Ernie decides to back away from the recording side. He let anybody go who needed to go. So I had picked up the phone and called Elmer Sheffield and asked him about recording on ESP, and he basically said that he really didn't need nobody else on the label. He was very content with having the guys that he had on there.
Mm-hmm.
So my answer, you know, his answer would have been no. And I said, I totally understand. And then he asked the question, well, what do you think you can get to ESP Records? And of course, I was being funny, and I said, a singer. And we just kind of talked. We talked for the next couple of minutes, and I had to get going. And I said, Elmer, I says, I need to get going. I appreciate your time, and thanks for listening. And I just want you to know that I appreciate ESP Music. And he said, I want you to call me back whenever you get a chance. So I did what I had to do, and I come back. And I called him back. It was later on that same day. And I said, you wanted me to call you back? And he says, yeah. He says, I think I would like to have you on the label. And so the first song I recorded on that was My Heart's Lost to You. It was a Brooks and Dunn's tune. That was in 2002, and I've been there ever since. And it has I don't know how many songs I've done, enough for a couple of CDs on ESP Records. Mm-hmm. that I have that people and dancers can purchase and so forth. And I just got done doing the vocals on a new one. Not sure when I'm going to release it. It's called it's Luke Bryant, Country Girl Shake It For Me. It's kind of a country rock tune. So hope everybody looks for it. It's going to be a pretty good crowd pleaser. It's definitely a rock, country rock style. But the dancers love it. It's definitely an upbeat song. And if you have that kind of music in your record case or your computer files or whatever, I highly recommend it because it's definitely going to be a good song for the dancers.
Great. When I was doing a little bit of research, it looks like you've recorded the same song on different labels. Is that the same release?
No,
Is it the same recording released on different labels, or are they actually different recordings?
Actually, what happened was with Eureka Records,
mm-hmm.
and this is a good example with Eureka, I did Let's Twist Again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Eureka Records folded, you couldn't get any more. They were out of print. So when I recorded for Ernie Kenny, he had the templates, so he recorded it and released it on hi-hat.
I see.
And that happened with several of my records.
Apple Blossom Time
was another one.
Time for Me to Fly.
Time for Me to Fly was with Dan Norby and Joe Saltell. That was released on Eureka Records. But here again, it was released on hi-hat because Eureka Records was not available.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So that's how that all comes about. But that's just a fluke just because of Ernie taking over all the music with Eureka and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, do you choose or recommend the songs that you do?
Yeah. If there's a song that I like, I'll call Elmer and he listens to it and he sends it to his studio personnel, their band.
Mm-hmm.
and they kind of put a rhythm track, and it's either a yay or nay, or he can pretty much count it out and, you know, see what you need to do with it. But most cases that if I send down a song and he likes it, then it will be mine.
Mm-hmm.
There has been some occasions that that I sent songs in and he did it, which is perfectly fine as long as somebody in the label gets to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfectly fine with me, because something that might work for me might not work for Billy, and what might work for Billy might not work for me, and that goes around the whole board. So.
Yeah.
So it's Elmer, Steve Kottman, Billy Harrison, Tim Mariner, and myself are the main guys that's recording for Elmer. So, you know, Tim might send in a piece of music and maybe four or five, and he'll disperse it where he needs to see. But most of the time, if the guys call in with a song that they hear on the radio, then they're going to get first stabs at it.
Mm-hmm.
Out. Yeah, Elmer makes sure of that. He takes care of the ones that, you know, that if you call it in, then you're gonna get the first opportunity with it if we do decide to record it.
When you're out calling, do you have nights where you do all Tommy Miller music?
There is. I'll get in that little mood. Yeah, let's do all the stuff I recorded. So in my files on my computer, I have a Tom Miller file that has all my music in it that I have, and I'll just pick and choose, and sometimes I even put the music on and call right along with me and makes it sound like harmony and things like that, so the
mm-hmm.
people enjoy it. But yeah, pretty much I do that at my home clubs, or, you know, but I do a lot of the music. So to answer your question, yeah, I do the Tommy Miller stuff on occasions, just a whole night of dancing. But what I try to do, and I have been pretty faithful with this, if anybody gives me comp records,
yeah,
I make sure that I do the comp records, because if they've taken the time to give me one of their new releases, new records, then I'm going to go out and do the best job that I can do with it to help them move along records.
Yeah.
And that just makes sense. I know there's some guys out there that gets comp records that you never heard, they never do them.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I give them the courtesy of, and I tell them who it's from and who recorded it, and it was a free record, a free comp record to me, a complimentary copy, and I appreciate that, so let's give it a try. You know, so, and I do that for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, Dale, when you got comp records, that was quite an honor.
Yeah.
Because of the fact being is you were out promoting the music, and, you know, back years ago, you know, you'd sell 8, 9, 10,000 copies of a singing call.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're lucky to sell 50.
Yeah.
I mean, it has drastically changed over the years. It's definitely has put a pull in the activity, because of the fact being is our modern technology has made a lot of people stupid over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Modern technology is good, but now it's easy now for someone to take a piece of music, put it on a jump drive, and give it to them to 100 callers.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay, but somebody at the end of the day is getting shortchanged and ripped off.
Yeah.
But that just doesn't happen in square dance music. That happens with movies that comes to the big screen. And I mean, that's CDs that you buy at Walmart. People make copy of them all the time and pass them along to people. You know, so modern technology is a good thing, but people do take advantage of it, without a doubt.
Yep. Kind of transitioning from the recording into a section that we like to call superlatives, what do you enjoy most about making music?
About the recording side of it?
Yeah.
You know, I've always enjoyed the recording. I think that it is just really awesome that someone has given me the opportunity over the years to put my voice onto vinyl as well now as CDs and MP3s. And I hope that that when I move on and I'm done calling Square Dances, or somebody takes me away and I'm not calling any longer, that I will leave a legacy of music behind that people will appreciate and understand why I recorded the music that I record.
Mm-hmm.
I'm noted for my love ballads. I love ballads, but I do every once in a while kick up a little heels and do a little country rock. I guess the bottom line is an ego type thing. It is, because there's a lot of good callers out there that would really like to have their voice on there, but would never have an opportunity just because of the way Score Dancing music and the record companies are to the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to the point that at least I know that I'm contributing to where I'm giving those callers and any other callers a chance at having and hearing different music.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we take all the recording artists away just on Elmer Shedfield's label, ESP Records, these guys are going to be missing out on a lot of the music if Elmer decides to terminate his label.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I'm part of that, because there's a legacy leaving behind. There's new music coming up that the guys have an opportunity, you know, to do. And I know that there's standing orders out there with whatever Tom Miller Records guys wants,
mm-hmm.
which I feel since I know that now, it would just heartsicken me that if I stopped recording and I wouldn't have anything to pass out to the guys that likes the stuff that I do.
Okay, so you've done a lot within Square Dancing. You've given a lot back to Square Dancing. You've accomplished a lot. What would you say you're proudest of within the Square Dance activity that you've done?
I think that the biggest thing that stands out in front right now that I can feel really proud about is making as many people happy that I have over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen more smiling faces. You know, I've heard some of the nicest comments that people give me. So in that case, I'm just really proud that I could give to Square Dancing the way that I've given to Square Dancing, making people happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that will live on. Those faces, the comments, the camaraderie that I have with callers and so forth, I'm just really proud of how the respect that I've gained over the years from each and every one of my colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't thank them enough for that, for being my family on the road. I'm proud to be part of a heritage that I don't know what direction it's going to go in the next few years. I'm hoping that the direction it takes will be for the good. And I'll say this to the listeners. We need to keep away from the negativity of Square Dancing. We need to put the positive side out there. There's more positive side to Square Dancing than there is negative. Just because you can't get a class or you can't get an officer doesn't mean that you need to be banging Square Dancing up against the wall and make it the most horrifying thing there is.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be looking at the positive side of it. And I've always tried to go to bat for the dancers, for the leadership role of it. So I'm proud in that case of trying to keep in Square Dancing to the image that Square Dancing should be.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regards, I'm just really proud of. And besides that, I know that I've made my mom and my dad very proud.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it.
That's great.
Yeah.
So obviously you have a lot of fun with the people that come to your dances, or, you know, with the people that you've met through Square Dancing, beyond the people. because I think that would probably be the answer here as well. Beyond the people, what do you have the most fun with within square dancing?
I just like the call.
Mm-hmm.
I like the puzzle. I like the I am so thrilled that alternative music come into play. I am I'm always looking forward to having fun with my new singing calls that I get.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ones that I recorded, but other stuff that I buy or what I get. I'm always looking forward to working with whoever I may work with. I mean, if I found out that I was doing a weekend with Del Hodge, I'd be excited just because we never had a big chance to do a full weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be that would be just thrilling, even though we've been friends for over 20-some years.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a thrill to me to work with somebody that I haven't had a chance really to work with. But I think that's coming to an end next May, if I'm not mistaken, down at Rehoboth Beach.
It is.
So
it is. Yeah.
So we'll finally get a chance to work a weekend together.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. That's an annual thing for me that I look forward to. But that's you, me, Billy, and I think is that Mike Kellogg coming in?
I think it is.
So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to.
That's gonna be a fun weekend.
Yep.
But I just love the call. I love the call. I love the mathematical problem that there is for the dancers to solve. I just think square dancing is a activity that if you're not doing it, the question is why not?
Mm-hmm.
But we know why, because square dancing sounds like it's hokey pokey and old fashioned and whole hee-haw-ish and things like that. And that image, no matter what you're going to do or how you're going to say it, that image is always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would recommend anybody to go square dancing. Square dancing. Get involved. And if you're not involved in your clubs as a square dancer, you know, you get back more from being involved than sitting back and doing nothing. If you're a club member, step up to the plate and be a club member. Take an office. Do something, because someday you're going to wake up and not have that club or that caller to be part of anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It could be very well taken very easily by just stepping up to the plate and taking a role in your club.
Yeah.
Become a leader, basically.
Did you call through C1 at this point? Is that correct? C2?
I do call C1.
Is there a program or level that you kind of, if you woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and somebody stuck a microphone in your face, that the one that you really enjoy calling the most?
I like the basics. I think the basics, not saying I don't like C1 or advanced or plus or,
mm-hmm.
I like the basics. I think it's challenging that you can put 25 or 30 basics in front of you and call just as good as dance if you had everything in front of you, the whole list of three levels. The basics to me is the starting point of where the fun should be, and that fun should continue all the way up through the next levels. But if I really had to say what level that stuck out the most to me, it would be the basic level. I love doing beginner dances. And I guess falling back onto the handicap, because that's all basics.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of fun. And if I was to take the next level beyond that, I enjoy calling advance.
Mm-hmm.
Even though all these levels are a comfort zone for me, I like the advance. I like the advance. If you were to put singing calls and things in the mix, and of course, then it'd be the plus and mainstream, but. My first pick would be the basic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've gotten a wide range of answers to that particular question.
Yeah.
Okay, so looping back to where we were at the beginning, tell us something else that would surprise us about Tommy.
Well, you all know that I do a little bit of work at a funeral home, which is. I might go a couple times a month, you know, to work just to help out delivering flowers and so forth. I guess the big thing is starting Thanksgiving all the way through Christmas, I am Santa Claus at Lakemont Park in Altena. The Lake of the Lights, or the Lights of the Lake. And I'm there pretty much 6 days a week, being Santa Claus. My daughter, Candace, she does the pictures while I'm there. She works for the park in the for the season.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing that now probably for about 6 years.
Wow.
So that's a thing that a lot of people don't know, that Tom Miller does that. And no, I don't need no pillow either.
I was going to ask.
I know you were going to ask. That's why I said that. I don't need no pillow. That's the two things that I do I'm also involved with ghost hunting. I love ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hobby of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Fishing is a hobby of mine. Camping, hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all hobbies of mine that I enjoy doing throughout the year.
You had mentioned, I think, a couple things you have coming up. Do you have anything in December, or do you really kind of keep December for the holidays?
The only thing I do in December is a couple of small dances. I come to Baltimore and do a Christmas dance for the Friendship Squares. I go out towards Pittsburgh and do their Christmas dance. And then everything, I do a couple of Sundays advanced dancing up in State College at the Nittany Squares.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my club on Mondays, and everything else is with Santa Claus. So I devote my time to the Christmas holiday, basically.
Mm-hmm. And one final question.
Sure.
You kind of danced around it, but if there was one thing that you thought people could do to promote and get more people involved in square dancing, what do you think that would be?
Well, years ago, you know, everybody was dancing, and that's because of the age years ago. The people are not getting involved. I mean, just not with square dancing, with any organization. Fire companies is having trouble, church choirs, VFWs is having problems, lay organizations. I think what needs to be done is that we need to go out and do visual more so than we need to do flyers. Flyers are the worst communications because people just pick them up and throw them in the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be in front of people constantly. And the only concern to that, to me, is the person that's doing those demonstrations, or, you know, if you think you're going to go to a senior center and do a demonstration and get dancers, you're just going to entertain those people.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go out and do the diabetes walks, the cancer walks, the everything that's out there, to get in front of people to see the exercise that you actually truly get. And one of the things with diabetes is, you know, you have to exercise to keep your blood sugar levels and so forth. And we're just not doing that. I've talked to many people, but we're not doing that. So I think we need to keep it in front of people. The thing of it is that you got to be careful who's keeping it in front of the people, because the last thing you want to do is make it go out and look like hokey pokey.
Yep.
Square dancing.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be going out and doing your alternative music, doing upbeat music from the radio, people that you can relate to different styles of music. It needs to be a good. It doesn't need to be a good experience for the dancers that's already there doing the demo, because they're already involved with square dancing. It needs to be a good experience for the people who are not involved with square dancing. And if we give those dancers a bad experience, then they're not going to get involved with square dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to give them a good experience of square dancing, meaning the fun. Nothing mathematical that the dancers need to stand there and solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the music, the alternative music, not so much the patter, more singing calls. So, you know, going to a demonstration and doing Wait Till the Sun Shines Nelly is not going to sell square dancing for you.
Right.
It has to be something that's going to catch the eye in the ears and the interest of the people that's not dancing. And I think when we start doing that, I honestly believe that we see a difference in our people coming into the activity.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not doing that. So who knows when that's going to happen. I will say this, if we had ever have the opportunity, I know it's been tried in the past, but if we had an opportunity of somebody like George Strait or Kenny Chesney or somebody of the stature of country music stand up there in front of everybody and say, listen, I'm a modern Western square dancing. I think everybody should try it. Our doors wouldn't be big enough. Our halls mm-hmm. would not be big enough. We'd be busting over our seams because these, you know, it's like, why do they wear the jeans that they wear? It's because they're trying to sell jeans and they'll go out and sell jeans.
Yep.
The problem with that is it's a financial burden is what
yep.
it is. Because it takes money for that to happen. And so who knows? But that's just my thought. I just think newsletters and why we advertise new classes in our local square dance magazines, I'll never know, because that just doesn't make sense to me. You need to be advertising and going out and doing one-on-one to get dancers into the door, and that's not happening.
Any final thoughts? We don't have any additional questions here.
No, I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity. I can't thank you enough. Just something that I can add onto my list that I've done for square dancing, and I hope that people get some smiles on their face and they'll, you know, maybe strike some interest up in what I said about doing demonstrations and things like that. So I just want to give you the, big thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thanks a lot, Tommy. Really appreciate the time. Really appreciate you sharing your thoughts. And we've had a great time. Barb was texting me from her appointment saying that this was one she really, really wished she could stay on the whole time for.
Well, that was nice of you guys bringing Billy in, too. That was quite a surprise.
Yeah. So I had set that up a couple months ago when you and I had talked about the possibility of doing it, and he kind of got this sheepish smile on his face with the dance, and he said, sure, you can call me.
That's great. That was a nice surprise.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tommy. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Dale. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the end of part three of our interview with Tom Miller. At this point, we're recording this section later, and Barb is back with us. Hey, Barb.
Hello.
Missed ya.
Thanks. I'm back.
So a couple things that really stood out to me, Tommy talking about what he was proudest of, what he really enjoys and has fun doing, and how we can get more people involved in square dancing. Interesting things that Tom had to say.
Yeah, it's good to see that people are thinking about this, and it's interesting to see the different perspectives that people have about what we can do. So
yep.
that's great.
Yep.
Yeah, on my bucket list is to add a Tom Miller dance. I would like to attend the Tom Miller square dance, and it would be a bonus if Bill Harrison were also there. So I'm hoping that I could do in the near future.
Yeah, the two of them together. There's lots of dancing that goes on, but there's also lots of watching what goes on stage. I have, for the first time ever, the honor of working with them the first weekend in May. We'll be in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and
wow.
The three of us will be working together along with Mike Kellogg, calling
oh,
on
wow.
multi-level weekend down in Rehoboth with probably, I'm guessing, about 200 people at the dance. So you're more than welcome to come out. We have a great time, Barb.
I'm not sure I've ever been to Delaware. Perhaps that's another thing on my bucket list.
There you go.
Good. Okay.
Perfect. And what do you have upcoming this weekend?
Well, of course, the big thing on my radar is Thanksgiving. Got to get that turkey on Turkey Day. And the other thing that's not on my radar is shopping. I will be trying to do no shopping this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Huh.
It just gets too crazy. So I have a couple of family and friend things tentatively planned, and hopefully that'll come to pass. And then there's always that L word that I don't like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Love, but laundry, yes.
Yeah.
I bet you have something more exciting than that.
Thanksgiving in Indianapolis,
yeah,
along
good.
With Black Friday shopping in Indianapolis.
Yes.
And on Saturday, we support the local businesses down there. There's a place called Brown County, Indiana.
Yes.
And and it's a small, quaint little town with a lot of shops, a lot of local shops. So
I could do that kind of shopping. That'd be okay.
Uh-huh.
It's with the crazy people with the 40% discount stores that I can't. It just gives me claustrophobia to be in there with all those bustling people.
Yeah.
They're not orderly like in a square.
Right.
When people are squared up, it's orderly for the most part. Sometimes not.
Any final thoughts, Barb?
At your one of your dances that I was at on Saturday, I got a new nickname. I didn't tell too many people about it at the time, but I saw my cruise buddy, Barb Klein, the two of us actually shared a cabin on our cruise that we were on last month. And when she saw me, she called me Rumi, and I called her Rumi back, but somebody thought she called me Ruby. So I guess I now have a nickname of Ruby.
And there you go.
Did you know that happened?
I heard some bantering back and forth, but I couldn't really tell what exactly was going on.
Okay.
And then it continued, and I thought, well, I've missed out on something, so that's okay. All right, well, a happy Thanksgiving to everyone. This is Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland, currently from Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Ciao, Bart. Happy dancing and happy Thanksgiving.
And this is Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Goodbye, Dale. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours and all of our friends out there. And have a good week, everyone.
See you all in the square. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.